Well, it's time to say hello to the mayor of the city of Brockton, Mayor Bill Carpenter. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Ron. I guess, first of all, had I realized we were video casting, I would have put the tie on because I do have a tie and jacket out in the car, but I was thinking casual for radio. My first thought was, well, they can't see you on the radio. I forgot that that's in the old days.
Yeah,
anymore.
It's kind of changed just a little bit.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Not much lining up here.
That's
okay.
All right. That's okay. It's all right for me to see once in a while.
Well, you look like you're working.
Off.
You look like you're working
I
hard.
I have been working very hard.
You have been working very hard. You kind of remind me of Obama in the sense that as soon as you got into the office and opened the door, you started running.
I think we started working
before that, huh?
48 hours after the election, honestly. Yeah. I mean, we did put a lot of time in on the transition. And, Ron, the reason that we did that was for just the reason that you stated. I wanted to be in a position to be working on day one. Mm. And I felt that, you know, I really feel, you know, the first 6 months of your term really sets the tone for your whole term. Mm. And I think that how effective you're going to be in your first 6 months would be determined by how much work you put into the transition.
Right.
So. You know, we're working hard on a lot of different things, and it's a balance every day between working on long-term goals and plans that I have for the city, but also running the city on a daily basis. And for lack of a better word, stuff comes up on a daily basis.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's I think it's one of the real exciting things about the job is the fact that, you know, we go to great lengths to have a very organized, scheduled day for me.
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't been one yet that went exactly according to plan.
Certainly
because
not.
Things come up and and you adjust.
Let me ask you honestly, did you...
But I did make it here today.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Eventually, someday.
Well, that's all right. I'll be here once a month. Don't worry.
I know. did you think, before we get into some of the issues...
Yeah,
Did you think that when you got into office that it would be, I wouldn't say easier, but that the things would... You had an agenda, things that you wanted to do, and probably got into office and found, well, it doesn't necessarily work that way. Have you found that?
Well, not exactly. I think I had a pretty good sense of what the job entailed, mm-hmm. and I certainly, I think, had a very good sense of what the challenges are,
right.
because you can't go through an eight-month campaign without knowing what the challenges mm-hmm. are, because you spend 8 months speaking to the residents of the city. I think a couple of things, if you ask me what's been different than exactly what I expected, I think amazingly enough, I think the pace may be even a little faster than what I thought. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be fast. I mean, Ron, you've known me for years. I'm a guy, I've always worked two or three jobs. I've worked a lot of hours all my life.
You're a juggler.
Well, I'm not afraid of, you know, I'm not afraid of the long hours. And so it's not about the hours.
Mm-hmm.
But when you just talk about the pace, and I knew it was fast.
Yeah.
But it's really fast. I mean, there's not a time during the day that someone's not waiting to speak to you about something else. And it's not unusual to have a couple people out lined outside the door and someone on hold and someone in the office. And it is a fast pace. But I think we're handling it very well. I start early in the morning, and so does my chief of staff, Bob Buckley. So we get a chance to spend, you know, an hour and a half or so together in the morning when no one else realizes we're in the office. And that's when we were able to really make plans.
Yeah, I mean, well, knowing you, this is kind of your forte in being able to handle a lot of situations at once. You were always doing five or six things at the same time and doing them all rather well,
I may say.
But
I appreciate that.
So, but that's juggling
the job.
Is a very important part of
it. It's the job, and you're constantly making decisions as to what requires your attention right this minute.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, so let's talk about some of the issues.
Absolutely. There's plenty of them. I don't know if we can get them all into an hour, but we'll try.
All right. All right. Let's see what we can do.
That's all right.
All right. Now, as you know, and I said to you so long ago, you should run for mayor. But we did have one issue.
But you
issue.
Didn't think I could actually win. You told me to run, but you didn't know I could actually win.
I never finished the sentence.
Running and winning are two different things.
But you did it.
And governing is even different than that. Yeah.
But there was one issue that we both disagreed on, obviously, and that was the power plant thing. And then there was a development a couple of weeks ago where the courts were asked to hold back for a little while for discovery and for other reasons. And I know some of the wording in that court proposal document were that there are negotiations taking place.
Right.
Are there indeed negotiations?
There have been no formal negotiations at this point. I'll say that unequivocally. Mm-hmm. And I did not see that language in that court filing until afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't even aware of it. That was filed by outside counsel. So let me give you the answer on a couple fronts. I have to be careful how I choose my language. Mm-hmm. But I want to answer the question. There have been no formal negotiations. I think there have been a couple informal conversations to establish whether there are parameters within which negotiations could take place mm-hmm. in the future. But it's funny, Ron. I think that some folks expected that I was going to come in on day one with six guns blazing and be down on, you know, Oak Hill Way with a shovel ready mm-hmm. to start building. Mm-hmm. And it just hasn't been the case. And I think I would like to think that I'm proceeding with caution and with due diligence and really trying to do my homework and make sure I have a full understanding of all the issues involved before making any decisions in terms of where I want to go. Mm-hmm. I have asked, and the city solicitor is right now working on a comprehensive report for me mm-hmm. to outline exactly what all of the outstanding litigations are. And I, off the top of my head, I want to say the seven. Mm-hmm. But what all of the outstanding litigation is, what its origin is, where we've been so far, what's the status of it today, and where does he think it's going in the future? Mm-hmm. And then simultaneously to go with that, I've asked for a financial accounting of what has it cost us so far, how much is it costing us right now, and how much is it projected to cost us in the future? Because I think as the CEO, and I'm not a legislator like a counselor, I'm a CEO, and as the CEO of the city, I think I need all of that in front of me before I can start giving guidance and making decisions to the people who work for me as to what I would like them to do. So informally, I did, through the attorneys, say, will you see if you can get us a little time out here? Because mm-hmm. I really need a chance to get into the office and do some homework. Mm-hmm. And so my understanding that language was something that a lawyer put in to explain to the judge why both sides would ask for a three-month reprieve from action. So in plain English, I said to the lawyers, see if you can get us a time out. And I mean by lawyers, I only mean the city lawyers. I have never spoken to the I may have spoken at one point to one attorney from the other side during the campaign, not as mayor. But I mean, I'm only consulting with the city lawyers is probably a better way to put it. And so, you know, I think, you know, my position during the campaign was pretty clear. But I do want to make it clear that that I'm proceeding with caution. You know, that I think people know what my position was in the campaign. But I think there is a difference when you come into office and you have a responsibility. And these are big decisions, and I don't want to make them without having all the information in front of me. The other thing I'll tell you, Ron, is I had this conversation with counselors in December as to what my intentions were. And I did tell them that once I was able to gather that information, that I would share it with the counselors. So whether they agree with ultimately with the decisions I make or not, that they would at least see the data that I base my decisions on.
You were very clear and very transparent during the campaign that this was, I won't use the term agenda, but this is something that you wanted to tackle and look at.
Along with a whole bunch of things, but absolutely.
But that was, and I believe you originally said that the election was a referendum on the power plant, which it probably wasn't because other things became so much more paramount.
Yeah, and I think what I said was, I think what I was trying to say, Ron, is I thought that others were trying to make it a referendum on the power plant. I considered all along the power plant to be an issue. Mm-hmm. I'd never considered to be the issue. I still to this day feel very strongly that public safety, crime in the neighborhoods, taxes, jobs are all higher on the list of issues for most Brocktonians. Right. And I don't discount the fact that there are some folks who would put the potential power plant at the top of their list.
You do recognize that there's a significant percentage that don't want it.
But I just think, I do feel that as I spent 7.5, 8 months knocking on doors, that the majority of people who live in the city, whether they had an opinion on the power plant or not, were most concerned with violent crime, jobs, economic development, and taxes. Those, I think, were the I think that's what the election was really about.
The reason that I bring it up is just is because of the language that was used. It raises eyebrows. The parties' settlement negotiations require this additional time. The parties have resumed discussions regarding a public resolution of this litigation.
Right. So again, what I said to the attorneys, and I that was filed by the outside legal counsel, who I've only met once subsequent to that.
Okay.
And what I said to the in-house counsel was, see if we can get a timeout. My exact words were a timeout. See if we can get a timeout. I know they've had informal conversations, as attorneys do, to see are there parameters. In other words, I think the first decision you're going to make is there a possibility of coming to an agreement before we even would head down that path?
Yeah.
And so no formal negotiations have taken place, but I did ask for a timeout so we could have some time to gather the information. I'm getting briefed on a ton of litigation, Ron, not just this, a ton of litigation. Mm-hmm. I've been having regular briefings with the solicitor since I took office because, you know, this is one of dozens of cases that the city's involved, or at least a dozen. Okay. So I think I just feel as though I need to be fully knowledgeable on it, and I need to have the information I asked for in front of me, and it's being worked on.
Okay. The only other question I'll ask you on that topic is that you had made the statement, and unless it was misconstrued or off of another statement, that you didn't need the city council in order to push it through.
Now, that was taken out of context.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But so let me address the city council first. When you asked me about things that are a little different than I expected, the pace is a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
I would have hoped that the relationship with the council would have been less adversarial from the beginning.
Right.
I will tell you, and I believe from the bottom of my heart, that since the day after the election, I have done everything I possibly can to establish a positive working relationship with the council. And I think I have that relationship with some councilors.
Right.
But I
think it's adversarial with others?
I think that right out of the box, you know, that there's been a tone or a tenor to some of the meetings where I feel as though almost anything I would propose right now would meet opposition. So, you know, I'm working on that constantly. I'm trying hard. I've had conversations with counselors. I've reached out to counselors repeatedly. The second week of December, I did hour-long individual meetings with all 11 counselors. I don't know if that's ever been done in a transition before. And I laid out to them about 10 or 12 different items that I expected during my first 6 months in office.
Mm-hmm.
We would have matters coming in front of the council as a heads up in an informal conversation. And so it's a little frustrating to me if a counselor says that they were blindsided by something or caught flat-footed about something that I discussed with them before I was ever even sworn into office.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm learning too. There are three new counselors, a new mayor, and I'm certainly learning. I've said this to a couple of the counselors that, you know, I'm learning as I go along, and there's a couple of things already that with a little more experience I'll probably do differently next time.
Things have been met with a little bit of challenge from the council. I guess the first one was the situation with the police commissioner slash interim police chief.
Yep.
And by the way, a very impressive individual. Let's first talk about that process, and then let's talk about actually what is really going on that behind the scenes, which is really very good.
Yep. So that would be a perfect example that when I had those one-hour one-on-one meetings in the second week of December with all the counselors, Bob Hayden was sitting right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not only did I speak to them, he spoke to them. Mm-hmm. He was sitting next to me. And I would say on average of those hour-long meetings, 30 minutes of it was Chief Hayden speaking directly with counselors and answering questions and all. So I think I was crystal clear from before I ever came into office as to what my intentions were.
Absolutely.
That I felt very strongly that, and there was never, ever any criticism or disrespect towards Chief Gomes. Never heard a word out of my mouth in that nature. I believe to this day, Manny and I have a very friendly relationship. But I did make it clear that I felt that a mayor has to have the opportunity to bring in their own leader for public safety for police. I absolutely believe it's the number one issue. Crime and violent crime is the number one issue in the city. I have a 2-year term. I have some ideas. And if I have someone, I ought to be able to bring in the person who I have the most trust and confidence in. And you know what? We will succeed or fail based upon our accomplishments. And speaking of referendums, there will be a referendum in 2 years. And if people think I've made positive progress, I'll probably get reelected. And if people feel as though my ideas didn't work out, I won't be reelected.
Well, Bill, you ran on change.
Right.
And
absolutely.
I think it's to be expected that that is what is going to take place.
And we're making changes. Yep. I discussed with all of the councils at the time the idea that I would put forward an ordinance for a civilian police commissioner. And by the way, that model was just recently copied by Holbrook. So take a look at what the town of Holbrook is doing. They hired a 65-year-old retired police chief of Randolph to be their interim police chief.
You groundbreaker, you.
That's right. Well, I mean, it's the exact same model that in Brockton they're saying you can't do that.
Why not?
And they're in Holbrook, they're doing the exact same thing. Paul Porter, who I've met a number of times and I think was a great chief in Randolph, and I'm glad Holbrook is taking avail of his services. But getting back to Brockton, we have brought the ordinance forward. I have worked as cooperatively with the council and the ordinance as I can, and I have to say, you know, I think the ordinance committee specifically is handling it properly. They're doing their due diligence. During the hearing that they had, hearing may not be the right word, but the meeting that they had, there was discussion of a couple of possible amendments. I provided the councilors with some suggestions on a couple possible amendments, and I'm hopefully looking forward to coming up with something out of that committee that the councilors feel they can support, and then we'll advocate for it on the full council. Do I think we have the votes in the full council today to get it approved? No, I don't. I think we're getting closer every day. And I think that the more people get to know Chief Hayden and look at what he's doing, that there will be more and more pressure on the council to allow us to get this ordinance in.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to what is being done with crime and safety in the city, which is significant, by the way, let's continue with the city council and get that issue out of the way. Just recently, as a day ago, there was a concern about the appointment by the city council president to the water commission.
Mm-hmm.
The charter for that apparently states that the mayor appoints three and the council president can appoint two.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's what they did. An injunction was filed in order to stop that appointment.
Yeah. And there's been conversations, so no one should think that this is in a closet somewhere. This was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact there were conversations between the city solicitor and the legal counsel for the city council. So they've spoken. They have had conversations on what the issue is. And I'm not an attorney, so I'm going to give you my plain English best understanding of it. The issue that you raise is one. I think the more significant legal issue that I think the lawyers in the court need to decide is looking at this Plan B form of government. If you look at this charter and the statute under which the Plan B form of government operates, the statute says that under a Plan B form of government, all appointments to municipal boards are by the mayor, subject to the approval of the council. And I believe that trumps a local ordinance. Will a judge agree with that opinion? We'll find out. I think it's a very fair question. My reading of the statute, the way it was shown to me, was pretty clear. It says that under a Plan B form of government, all appointments to municipal boards are by the mayor, subject to the approval of the council.
So the challenge is basically if that is a constitutional charter.
Right. Well, no, the ordinance. In other words, the local ordinance, if the ordinance violates state law, then the state law would prevail.
Right.
So, Ron, while we're on that, I think this has kind of come up as me taking a bigger view of what we do with water and how we do it. And so, you know, I wonder if we really even need a water commission anymore.
You had said that previously.
Yep. Yeah. I think that, you know, the water commission was established under Mayor Farwell in response to a consent decree, as part of a consent decree with the state.
Mm-hmm.
And the state had placed a moratorium on all new construction in the city at that time. And in order to get this consent decree, the city had to agree to to establish a water commission, to appoint a water systems manager, and to acquire a second source of water other than Silver Lake. Now that's back under Farwell, so that's got to be
that's a while ago.
18 years ago anyhow. So I look at today's situation, and I don't believe that that's really necessary anymore. We have a second source of water. We do have a water systems manager. So I think we need to look at the whole bigger picture as to whether we even need a water commission.
Okay. And how long ago did you have that feeling? Was it during the election?
The campaign?
Yeah,
I think I answered a question too about that somewhere along the way.
Because the person that was appointed to the water commission is Kate Archer.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. One of my biggest critics.
Yeah. And of course, one might... You know, unless it's explained, one might say, well, that might be one of the reasons.
I think that it could perhaps have been a factor in moving it up a couple notches on the to-do list,
yeah.
But it was on the list. Mm-hmm. And I think it's only one little piece. And I guess what I'm trying to say, Ron, is that it's one small piece of a bigger puzzle in looking at whether we really need a water commission at all anymore. And I think that this probably needs to be a process with the state through DEP to see if we can come to an understanding as to whether that consent decree can be lifted. Because I think all those conditions have been met for years, and I really think the Water Commission has outlived its usefulness.
Okay. Now let's talk about the marijuana distribution
sure.
Location, the city
yep.
of Brockton. This is kind of business confusing a tad.
Yeah. I did endorse one of the proposals, as the headline in the Enterprise said.
Yes, it's
the mayor endorses pot shop.
Headline.
Mayor endorses pot shop.
Yeah, okay.
So did 9 city councilors. 9 city councilors also issued letters to the same proponents, along with 2 or 3 of the councilor elects. So I would say, other than the former mayor, that proponent had universal support among Brockton elected officials.
Right.
With the exception of the former mayor.
Okay. Now, the company that has the license is in good health.
And there are some real questions about it. And some of those questions came to my attention with the Globe article last mm-hmm. week. So I've asked for a meeting with the new operator, and I know it's been scheduled through mm-hmm. there. They've got some sort of a consultant or something.
Mm-hmm.
I have not met them yet, mm-hmm. but I do have a meeting scheduled with them. I'm going to express my concerns.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the Commissioner of Public Health, I believe is her title, yesterday at a meeting, and I asked her for a meeting. And in that meeting, it'll be on my list of agenda items to express some of my concerns about this particular licensee. I just – and I don't claim to have memorized what all the criteria were, but – it does seem to me that a significant part of it was supposed to be around community involvement and working with the local officials, et cetera.
Right.
And I did feel as though the Greenway people made a major effort in that area. And I've never met this noble person. Here's the reality, Ron, when you talk about this medical marijuana thing. Mm-hmm. So some of your friends have tried to say I've contradicted my position. So let me say it clearly, because I have not contradicted my position. During the campaign, I stated that I did not vote. I voted no on the medical marijuana referendum. I actually support medical marijuana in its true use as mm-hmm. medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I think if someone's going through chemotherapy and it alleviates some of their suffering, they absolutely should have it. I think people with some types of chronic illnesses that need appetite to keep weight on to survive absolutely yeah. should have it. I think people with glaucoma should have it. My concern with the referendum question, the way it was written, I just didn't think it was a very well-written question. I thought it left a lot open to interpretation, and it left a lot subject to however the state decided to regulate
correct.
It. And those regulations weren't promulgated until well after the question passed. So there could have been some medical marijuana questions I may have voted yes on had they been more specific. My concern, and this is not a secret, that I've spent a lot of time in the last 10 years around the issue of substance abuse and addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I do personally have a personal view that for some people that marijuana could be a gateway drug to experimenting with other more powerful, more addictive drugs. And that's my concern. And I'm worried about what kind of a message are we sending. I worry about the Colorado system, where it seems as though anybody can get access if they really want to. But so that was my personal position. Now, the ballot question passes. The state DPH issues regulations.
Right.
When you look at how the state is going to handle it, it becomes abundantly clear that a medical marijuana dispensary is coming to the city of Brockton,
right,
whether the city of Brockton likes it or not.
Right.
There's one coming. Mm-hmm. State's approved it. The only input that the city has is around zoning. Other than zoning, the city has no input.
Well, don't you have input as whether there's manufacturing as opposed to just distribution, whether it becomes a larger facility that covers?
We may have input, but it's not our decision. DPH is doing all of the licensing.
It's a question of licensing.
It's all being done by DPH. It's all being done by DPH. So I took the position now as a mayor-elect and as a mayor that if we know it's coming, then it changes the whole game. Now it doesn't matter what my personal view was back at the time I cast my one ballot. The reality is that one is coming, so I did feel that it was important to the residents of the city to make sure that if we're going to get one, let's get one that's well managed, well supervised, is going to be a good corporate citizen and give back to the community, because I talk about linkage with everybody that's going to bring us a business to the city, and that it's going to be situated in a place that we can live with it. So based upon those things, I did meet with the Greenway people a couple times. They do have Patty Lawton working for them in some sort of advisory capacity.
She's the vice president.
But I know she's some sort of advisor. Did she schedule the appointment? Yes, but here's what's interesting. Here's what didn't make the newspaper run. The two principals in the company, John and Mike Green, I've known them since they were 15 years old. They grew up with my oldest son. They used to ride to school in the same car with my oldest son. Now, I hadn't spoken to them since they graduated from high school 15 or so years ago. But they made an approach to me directly very early on through my son to get a meeting early on during the campaign. So I would have sat with them no matter what. And the fact of the matter is, I would not have endorsed their proposal if I wasn't impressed with it. And I was, as I will state one more time, I was just as impressed as nine city councilors who also gave letters of support to them.
Sure. It's just, I mean, I just didn't know if you felt uncomfortable that the Lawtons were part of your...
Yeah, part of my campaign team.
Campaign manager. Yep. And that they're also sit on that board, if that was uncomfortable.
Not uncomfortable for me, because the reality was there are, I'm not controlling this. There are three proponents coming to the city. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were three applicants for
there
the license to sit one in the city.
Mm-hmm.
They were one of the three applicants. Mm-hmm. I deserve to give them the same consideration, and had either of the other two applicants asked me for a meeting, I would have given them the same consideration. And I think, Ron, now when you read this Globe coverage of the people who got it, I think that reinforces my position that the right thing to do was to sit down and find out more about him and talk to him. And if I wasn't comfortable with it, I would not have endorsed
it. Certainly your right to do that. And expected of you as well.
And I've got real concerns about this, these noble folks who, when you look at some of those things that are outlined in the Globe article, you know, why is the owner of the building getting a percentage of the profits? You know, why is it someone who's, you know, had some real questions about their business practices at times in the past? And I've got to tell you, and I won't repeat them publicly, but privately, I have received, I've been contacted by several other individuals contacting me, relaying business problems that they had with that licensee that weren't reported in the newspaper.
Right, right.
So at least parenthetically, I've been made aware of perhaps there are even other ones that weren't reported in the Globe.
Right. Okay.
I'm concerned. I don't know how it's going to come out, but I am going to talk to these folks that at least preliminarily have the license, and I am going to talk to the DPH about what my concerns are. I think that's my job.
Yeah. That's why I welcome our monthly conversations, because this is an opportunity to in-depth communicate. And if it's not communicated, then people make assumptions, and sometimes those are in the wrong direction.
Right. Right.
It's important to do this.
Right.
Okay. I do want to talk about the police chief and what's being done in the city.
Sure.
Because it is impressive.
It's amazing.
Now, of course, we're not in the summer and all of that, and these are steps in place and crime goes
on.
Well,
I think, Ron, if you noticed the chief's responses in his Q&A in the Enterprise Sunday morning, he said that. They asked him what his first impression was. He says, it's been snowing since I got here. The bad guys don't come out in the snow. So, I mean, I think he's the first one to admit that this is the slow time of year. But I think it's a blessing in disguise because it's giving him a chance to get in and actually start instituting some changes, not having to do it in the middle of the summertime. Mm-hmm.
Well, this, to me, certainly, is the number one concern in the city because everything rolls off of this concern. This city can be an incredible metropolis if people are attracted to come to this location. And that includes, the basis of that is getting rid of the garbage and then bringing in the good stuff.
Ron, and I think you're, in your own words, kind of reiterating a position I took all along, and that was, I don't know how you get people to buy a house in the city. I don't know how you convince businesses to expand or locate in the city until we change this perception that
absolutely.
The city is not safe.
It's a marketing situation.
It absolutely is. And it really hurts us right now, and we need to overcome it. And then you add in the piece that is the most important piece, and that is that people need to feel safe in their neighborhoods.
Right.
And I believe a lot of people today don't feel safe in their neighborhoods. And I think it's the biggest challenge, the biggest job I face as the mayor is to turn the tide on this losing battle to this point on crime and violent crime and to reinstill confidence in the people who live here and to change the perception of people on the outside mm-hmm. of the city.
Well, just the word that changes are coming and are deed even in motion as we speak, in ways that cannot even be discussed because you don't show your cards on a situation like this. But that's enough of a message to say, pack up your stuff and get out of here.
And I think it will happen. And I think, and you're right. So I sometimes have to be careful what I say publicly, which is hard for me with my background. but I will tell you this, without mentioning any names, I attended a meeting in the Brockton Police Station yesterday afternoon at 4:00. There's probably about 50 people in the detective squad room. I would say 8 to 10 of them were Brockton police detectives. And the other 40 or so were representing every single law enforcement agency that you can possibly imagine at the federal, state, and county level. And this meeting was to share intelligence, share information, and work on coordinating efforts. Nothing like this has ever been done in Brockton before, Ron. And so the people say, yeah, listen, we've had the state police here for years. Of course we have. Listen, we've had FBI and ATF come in on different things. Of course we have. But we've never had all of these agencies in the room together at the same time, agreeing to work together and agreeing to share resources with the Brockton Police Department. Mm-hmm. As an example, Homeland Security investigations. They've got federal money. If they're working on a joint investigation with Brockton detectives, they will be able to bring some federal money for the city to be able to pay Brockton police officers overtime to work on these investigations. Mm-hmm. But I think just the intelligence gathering and the sharing of intelligence that I saw was unprecedented. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's ever been done. And I think it will be a huge step towards getting some of the real bad characters in the city off of the streets.
There are a lot of feathers to be collected for caps here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people can walk away with some incredibly good stories.
And it can't be about turf, and I know that's a challenge mm-hmm. sometimes amongst various agencies, and this is why I think that a guy like Bob Hayden, with his extensive reputation, his personal relationships with people at all of these various different agencies, is the guy that can pull this all together and make it work.
During your campaign, you had commented about the taxes and mm-hmm. the property taxes,
yep.
and that attracted a lot of people to your way.
Yeah.
The gentleman that proposed these taxes was the man who, the chief financial officer, Mr. Conan,
mm-hmm.
and he remains with your administration.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have great respect for what he's been able to do, what he does. But at the same time, one might wonder and question as to if you were a critic of that process, why he would be there at this time.
Yeah. Well, I think at the end of the day, the mayor makes the decisions.
Yes.
And I think that my criticisms were directed during a campaign towards the former mayor. I think that I talk to the CFO on a daily basis. He's an incredibly smart guy, but he also has an immense knowledge of the workings of Brockton City government. But at the end of the day, Ron, I'm going to make the decisions, and the recommendation that goes to the City Council will be my recommendation. Now, will Mr. Condon have a major role in developing the budget? Of course he will. I'd be an idiot if he didn't. But at the end of the day, I will make the big decisions that determine what that budget looks like. I will tell you that I have just having submitted to me this week the first preliminary budgets from all the department heads. And I said, I want three budgets, one that provides level services, one that's based upon level funding, and one that reflects a 5% cut in your budget. And so I think that sends a very clear signal early on that depending how the numbers come out as we go through the budget process, I will be prepared to make difficult decisions in order to hold the line on taxes.
So what you're saying is that the prior mayor, and I'm not disagreeing with you, the prior mayor should have turned to the CFO and said, this is not a budget that I am going to present to this council,
well,
especially in an election year.
I was, I wasn't in the room. I don't know what the conversations were that took place. What I will tell you is that I think one difference in my administration will be that when my formal budget does go up to the council for consideration in early June and the budget hearings are held in the month of June, that I will be sitting in the council chambers while my budget is being reviewed, while our budget is being reviewed. So I'm going to do that. Not that I'll have the answer to every specific question, because I'm sure with some specific questions, I will need the assistance of the department head or Mr. Condon or the attorney to help answer the question. But it will be clear that it's the budget that I submitted, and I'm accountable for what's in it, and I'm there ready to discuss it and ready to share with the counselors what my thought process was when I formulated that piece of the budget. Mm-hmm. And so I will be accountable for it, and I will be present when the council deliberates.
One of the most important functions of City Hall is to get monies from the state.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that's not the way anything should be run, but unfortunately that's the game.
State and federal.
Yeah. Do you have an arsenal of people that can be successful at this?
I think a lot of that falls on me, but we're already working on it. So I'll tell you that in January, I attended the U.S. Conference of Mayors down in D.C. Because I think it's critical for the mayor to get down to D.C. two or three times a year to be building relationships with our congressmen, our two senators, and also representatives of various federal agencies. Because when it comes time, when you're going to those folks to ask for help, when you're going to those folks to be considered for a project or as an applicant for a grant, I think your chances improve if they know you and they have a relationship with you. And that's not going to happen overnight, but it is one of my absolute priorities. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that while I was there, I met five U.S. cabinet secretaries during the course of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. I did shake the president's hand, but I didn't really speak to him, so I don't want to overstate that. Mm-hmm. But I did have conversations with five different cabinet secretaries who all gave me names of people in their departments for us to follow up with. And I will also tell you that I spent an hour with Congressman Lynch's chief of staff in the congressman's office, getting to know each other and talking about what I feel some of the issues are facing Brockton that we could get help on the federal level. I've already been up to the State House a couple times. I testified in favor of a bill that Representative Cronin co-sponsored that would help municipalities like Brockton reduce their costs of borrowing, which could be a critical budget factor in terms of short-term loans. I also had a meeting with State Treasurer Mr. Grossman, who obviously is a candidate for governor, but he is also the State Treasurer, and we worked on, he'll be coming down to see me in the month of March, and we're working on getting some additional state capital into local banks to be lent out for small businesses. So I'm going to work very hard at the state level and the federal level. The council likes to give me a hard time about my staff. But I hired a young guy on my staff who comes from working for the Ways and Means Committee in the House. And this is a young guy who's just getting his master's in public administration from UMass Boston. Mm. And, I mean, does he have real political influence? Of course not. He's a young guy. But he's worked up on the State House for 4 years for two different representatives on two or three different committees. He knows his way around the workings of state government. Yeah. And I think he's been a big asset to me already in working with various state officials.
You understand that just when the city council doesn't go along immediately, it's not that they're against you. They just have some questions.
Some have more questions than others. You're right.
Well, it's going to be like
no,
that.
I'm perfectly willing to answer the questions, and you're right. I do not consider questions being asked
right.
as being against me.
Right.
I don't, Ron. I go up there expecting to answer the questions,
right.
and I've been at every FinCon meeting I've been invited to, except the one that I missed when I was in Washington,
mm-hmm.
And that was a pre-scheduled trip.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more than willing to answer the questions. It's when they vote against it that they're against you, Ron.
Of course, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm aware of the difference. Yeah, yeah. No, it's okay to ask. And I'll give you a perfect example. You know, we had a long hearing with the Ordinance Committee about the police commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of questions were asked. I was asked how I felt about that afterwards. I said I thought I was treated very fairly, and I thought the questions were all legitimate,
mm-hmm.
and I think that the ordinance that comes out of that committee will be better than the one that I submitted.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a problem working right. cooperatively with the councilors.
I also don't think personally, it's not about me, but personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with changing one's opinion. And a negative way of putting that is called flip-flopping.
Mm-hmm.
Positive way of putting at it, looking at it is that I've reconsidered and there's new information and therefore I must re-examine.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with changing mine.
No.
I think people that stand on something no matter what,
right.
I think is a dangerous situation.
No, I think it's okay to change your mind.
Absolutely.
But I think you need to be prepared to share the rationale and explain
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
explain why your position
right.
has changed.
Right.
Positions do change sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think so long as you've got a strong rationale and you're transparent about it. I mean, they say about, you know, people having agendas. Everyone has an agenda. We all have agendas. I think there's a difference between your agendas and hidden agendas.
Correct.
Two different things.
Correct.
I have lots of agendas that I'm coming to the mayor's office
very
with.
Good. Let's talk about something very positive. Might be the last thing we'd be able to talk about
okay.
during this hour. But that's what I believe could be the absolute resurgence of downtown for a change.
Mm-hmm.
It's been talked about through every administration, even
You're right.
the successful ones,
yeah.
But nothing really ever came of it. It's been done in cities bigger than Brockton, New York, Lowell. There's a ton of examples. It's very achievable. I think we're right on that Renaissance line right now. And, again, a lot of feathers to be put in caps
yeah.
if it can be achieved.
Right. See, and I think part of it, you got to be a team player.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, Ron, and for your listeners, I have spent a substantial amount of time since being sworn in on January 6th working on economic development and community development in general
mm-hmm.
and economic revitalization of some of our business districts, including the downtown. And I do not exclude, we talk so much about downtown. When I say my vision is Montello, Campello, and downtown. When
mm-hmm.
I look at the Main Street corridor
right.
from Avon to West Bridgewater
right.
as being the target economic development area.
Yeah, I think you eloquently said in your campaign that Main Street extends into Avon, into Brockton, and all of a sudden you see an entire different business concept.
Right.
So why not have that travel through Brockton as well?
Right, right. But in terms of the downtown, there's some exciting stuff happening that was obviously began before I
right.
got there, but it'll
right.
be my mission to see it through. But we're also working on a lot of exciting developments. I have spent a ton of time trying to bring together, working with our state legislative delegation. So as you say, Ron, a lot of feathers. Mayor can't do anything by themselves.
I've right.
Got to work with the councilors, got to work with a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have great working relationships with all of our state legislators, and I'm working very closely with them to make a reality a downtown satellite college campus. And I believe it will happen during my first term. I think we're real close right now. 2 days from now, on Thursday, I'm meeting with the Chancellor of UMass Boston.
Right.
I've already met with the presidents of Massasoit and Bridgewater State. I believe we're going to bring a partnership of three state colleges and universities together to create a downtown campus for the city of Brockton. You mentioned Lowell, and I think Lowell is a great model for Brockton. They've done it there. And a week or 10 days ago, Bob Rivers, who's the president of Eastern Bank, with his help, we brought down Jim Cook, who is the economic development director up in Lowell and oversaw the institution of the Lowell plan over the last 20 years. I brought together about 30 of the Brockton area's biggest business leaders, put them in the conference room at City Hall, and Bob Rivers brought in Jim Cook, and they spent about an hour and a half talking about the Lowell plan, the components, how it worked, what they did, what the key ingredients were, and it was extremely well received. And I look at places like Lowell and Worcester that have had revitalizations of their downtown districts. And I think that we should be looking at them as models to see what would work in Brockton. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. Lowell has done it under very similar circumstances. Why not just learn off of what worked well for them and share with their experience? And we did that. We have a second follow-up meeting coming up with a smaller group of business leaders who want to really be involved on a first-hand basis. And, you know, it's early, but I envision when people talk about B21, what's the future B21? My vision is that B21 becomes Brockton's version of the Lowell plan, that we take the framework of what worked in Lowell and replicate it here in the city of Brockton.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's a big piece of the plan. We need a city planner.
Yeah.
We've needed one for a long time. The council has approved the funding for both a planner and a junior planner, and that's being worked on right now. I think that's a key ingredient. Developers will say to me, Bill, you know, how do we know what we should, what we want to build in Brockton when Brockton doesn't even know what they want to build in Brockton? And I think that's a fair critique of what it's been for the last few years. So I think you have to have a city planner. There is obviously a role for BRA handling all the federal HUD money that comes in. And I believe that there is a role for an economic development arm of city government that's targeted towards, you know, private capitalist business leaders who will bring their private capital to invest in the city of Brockton. Mm-hmm. And I think, to me, the most logical way to approach that is to look at cities where it's worked, Massachusetts cities where it's worked. I think Lowell's the model, and I want to replicate the Lowell model in Brockton. Mm-hmm.
There was a gentleman who used to work at the radio station with me. His name was Bill Carpenter, and
we have spent a little time in radio booths over the years, haven't we?
And we used to sit in a building in a studio that was quite interesting to sit in. That's no longer there, and
the back of the building is gone anyhow.
Well, you know, it won't be recognized. That's
no,
for sure.
No,
and to drive by that large block is probably one of the biggest boosters that I have when I cross that area, because it means something is definitely going to change without question.
And I think there are a number of pieces to the puzzle, Ron. You're right, and I believe that is a good project overall. You know, I have met with the developers a couple times. I expressed some concerns about a couple of aspects of the project. I wish they had not rented out half of the office space to the welfare department. I'd rather they be situated someplace else other than in the middle of the downtown business district. I understand the financial reasons now why the developers felt they had no other option, that without that lease, the entire project would not have gone forward. But I don't like that piece of it. And I've already worked with the developers in a couple design changes to minimize the impact on that downtown business district. An expanded waiting area on the first floor, so the people waiting inside, not outside, as an example. So I think that things would do. But there are a lot of positives to that project. And one of them is jobs. There is going to be some work, both in the construction of the building, and it's an ongoing project. And we're working with the developers right now. You'll hear us announcing very soon a informational job expo in conjunction with the largest contractor on that project, in cooperation with me and my office, to give Brockton residents first crack at any available jobs on that construction site. And if we make that happen, then I think it becomes even a more important project for the city.
So not to put words in your mouth, but it seems like your vision is to make things a whole lot better than what you picked up.
That's, you know, that's why I ran, Ron. If I didn't honestly believe that I had some ideas that would improve Brockton, I wouldn't have run. But I do really believe in a lot of the things we're trying to do. And, you know, I'm not always going to be right, and I'm going to make a few mistakes. But I think that if you're going to be an effective leader, you can't be afraid to make a mistake once in a while, because that leads to inaction and nothing gets done. So I'm, you know, I believe that I'll tell you, I'm positive that we are going to improve the quality of life for the residents in this city over the next 2 years. I'm convinced that we are going to make the neighborhood safer, that we are going to reduce the guns and the drugs on the streets of our city, that we're going to reclaim open space in this city like parks and playgrounds and make them places where families feel comfortable to go again. I believe we are going to get the economy of this city turned around, and we are going to – what my plan is to do, Ron, is we have to change the environment. It's not about, oh, bring jobs to the city. Now, that's simplistic. What we have to do is create an environment where – people want to invest their money in this city. And if we can create that attractive environment where people want to invest in Brockton, that brings with it capital, jobs, taxes, et cetera. But we're going to tackle some things. Listen, there are going to be some difficult conversations. I'm going to be meeting with some of the larger nonprofits in the city and tell them it's time for them to start chipping in. Our tax base has shrunk and shrunk because nonprofits have bought up so much property in the city. And I support all their endeavors, and I want them here for the most part.
It's got to be a balance, though.
But they've got to start contributing. You can't just take city services and not contribute.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the ways that we're going to alleviate the tax burden on the individual homeowners.
Well, I thank you for letting me do my job as a journalist and your job as a mayor. And we'll do this on a monthly basis.
Absolutely.
We'll say the last Tuesday of every month.
Works for me, and if I have a conflict, we'll reschedule it well in advance.
Excellent. The Honorable Mayor of the City of Brockton, Bill Carpenter, being very upfront in answering the questions. Thank you so much.